Would you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. What a week at church camp it was, spent with a bunch of junior high kids. Wow. Yeah. Our overall theme was be the spark. That is, be the spark to bring about change, to bring about peace, to bring about justice, to bring about forgiveness. We talked biblical themes like that salt flavors the world with love and light and peace. We talked about modern day disciples like Martin Luther King Jr., Oscar Romero, Sojourner Truth, Dorothy Day, Nelson Mandela. This year marked the 32nd week I've gone to camp as a camper or counselor. I grew up going to church camp in Arizona. Back in the 1970s, the UCC and the Disciples of Christ worked together in their respective youth programs, and that meant doing camp together. I grew up thinking it was normal for different groups to work out differences and work together for the common good. And the camp program flourished. After I left the state to pursue my educations, the two groups had some disagreements, and they couldn't work them out. So each went their separate ways with distinct programs. Cooperation was not in the forecast. Hope was not part of the recipe. 20 years later, I returned to Arizona and landed in Mesa, Arizona. I immediately wanted to be involved with the camping program, but the two sides were still estranged. And the reality was both sides were dying. I coined the phrase that both sides were on hospice. That didn't make me any friends in the Disciples or the UCC hierarchy. But it was the truth. Each program was dying, and I could see it. So like water, like wind, like rain carving out the Grand Canyon, back in 2003, I started slowly grinding away at the issues that divided the two groups, always insisting that the peace of God is found not separate, but together, and that we were stronger together. Now, sometimes over the years, the middle judicatory folks, that's the UCC conference minister, the Disciples regional minister, were receptive. Often they weren't, refusing to let go of absolute power and control. We've got to do things our way or no way, seemed to be the mantra. Maybe you know people like that. I kept grinding. It got so bad that the camping program of both sides thought that 2018, last year, that camp was going to be canceled because of lack of funds, lack of leadership, and I want to add lack of vision and hope. Well, you might remember that last year I went as a camp counselor, and I privately wondered, well, if this was going to be a funeral, or was it going to be a rebirth? Time would tell, I thought. You might know that our church donated over $1,200 to the camping program last year to help keep it afloat. We did so again this spring for Camp 2019. Fascinating thing happened after last year. Both sides were still separate. But when faced with that death, the real death, something happened. Something sparked hope. I don't know exactly what it was, but both sides gave up absolute power and control, and late last summer, both sides decided to get together to discuss 2019 camping program. And what would that look like? One exploratory meeting developed into two, then three, then real hope sprang forth as staff was hired to bring the two together. Our conference minister, Bill Lyons, the Disciples Interim Regional Minister Richie Sanchez gets much of the credit. Peace, hope was on the horizon. But there's still so much to do for the summer camping program, but it was there. I could feel it. The disciples in the UCC hired Reverend Jade Deskins, and the horizon got closer, and peace started to spark forth from my heart. But it was just the beginning. Then came a call a few weeks ago from Jay. They had more camper registrations than they even imagined, and they needed more help. Could you come, Paul, and help? It was an honor to say yes, and I'm grateful for a church community that allowed me that freedom. This process of splitting back in the 1980s and coming together is an example for all of us. And let me be so bold as to say, if you're at all like me, there are people in your life with whom you have been estranged. Circumstances build up, and like the Berlin Wall, before you know it, there's separation. And the months turn into years, turn into decades, which, if we want to maintain absolute power and control, can turn into a lifetime. I can't promise any satisfying resolution to any of our estrangements, any more than I can guarantee that the disciples and the UCC working together this year will be successful in the long run. But I do know with time, while it does not heal all wounds, it can lessen the intensity and can provide an avenue for walls to come down, sides to get together, and thus the peace of God. For that peace to happen, it takes a couple of things. To learn how to forgive, we first must learn what forgiveness is not. Most of us hold at least some misconceptions about forgiveness. Here are some things that forgiving someone does not mean. Forgiveness doesn't mean you are pardoning or excusing the other person's actions. Forgiveness doesn't mean you need to tell the person that he or she is forgiven. Forgiveness doesn't mean you shouldn't have any more feelings about the situation. Forgiveness doesn't mean there is nothing further to work out in the relationship or that everything is okay. Forgiveness doesn't mean you should forget the incident ever happened. Forgiveness doesn't mean you have to continue to include the person in your life. And maybe the biggest thing, at least for me, forgiveness isn't something you do for the other person, but for yourself. It's a gift to yourself. So if forgiveness is something you do for yourself, and if it can bring the peace of God, why is it so gut-wrenchingly hard for us to do? There are several possibilities. We have thoughts or focus on retribution, revenge. We enjoy feeling superior. We don't know how to resolve the situation. We're addicted to the adrenaline that anger provides. We identify ourselves, self-identity, as a victim. We're afraid that by forgiving, we have to reconnect or lose connection with the other person. So now that we know what forgiveness is not, why it's so hard to do, we need to ask ourselves and be honest with ourselves this question: do I want to forgive? Forgiveness requires feeling willing to forgive. Sometimes we won't because, the hurt went too deep, or because the person was too abusive or expressed no regret. From personal experience, I suggest that we do not attempt to forgive someone before we have identified, truly felt, expressed, and released our anger and pain. But if we decide we're willing to forgive, find a good place and time to be alone with your thoughts. Then try these steps to forgive even when it feels impossible. 1, think about the incident that angered you. Accept that it happened. Accept how you feel about it and how it made you react. In order to forgive, we need to acknowledge the reality of what occurred and how we were affected. 2, acknowledge the growth we experienced as a result of what happened. What did it make you learn about yourself or about your needs or boundaries? 3, think about the other person. He or she is flawed because all human beings are flawed. You are, I am, everyone is. He or she acted from limited beliefs and a skewed frame of reference. Because sometimes we all act from our limited beliefs and skewed frame of reference. Sometimes when people are hurt, they want to lash out at anyone and everyone, and often the innocent, you and I, whomever, get caught in the process. When you were hurt, the other person was trying to have a need met. What do you think this need was? Why did the person go about it in such a hurtful way? 4, decide whether or not you want to tell the person that you've forgiven him or her. If you decide not to express forgiveness directly, then do it on your own. Say the words, I forgive you, out loud to yourself or a trusted friend or to Pastor Jim or to me. And then add as much explanation as you feel is merited. Forgiveness puts the final seal on what happened that hurt us. We will still remember what happened. But here's the peace of God part. We will no longer be bound by it. As I said earlier, I can't promise any satisfying resolutions to our estrangements any more than I can guarantee that the disciples and the UCC working together at camp this year will be successful in the long run. However, I do know, having worked through the feelings and learned what we need to do to strengthen our boundaries and get our needs met, we're better able to take care of ourselves in the future. Forgiving the other person is a wonderful way to honor yourself and discover the peace of God. And my opinion, you're worth honoring. And the peace of God is certainly worth discovering. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to be at peace. And after all, the world sure needs peace. May it be so. Thanks be to God. Amen.